So, your presentation is fantastic, and we've worked with Jennifer Smith on what we are presenting this morning. I say we because my collaborator, Tom Collins, is here in the audience, and there are many of other people who have worked on this besides myself. So the first slide is a bit off because I'm only one of a large team of many people. As I go through this, I'll talk also about a study that we've done subsequent to submitting this abstract APHA, where we have done the same thing with a much larger number of women. So just a minor disclosure for me, and that is that I have been a paid consultant for Merck in the past year. This is a study that was funded by the CDC through the Prevention Research Centers, and our Prevention Research Center Kentucky actually also works with fit testing. So I found your presentation very fascinating as well. Thank you. So a little bit different approach and a little bit different population. We deal with primarily a rural population, and hence the name of our center, the Rural Cancer Prevention Center. And we do work with a community advisory board using CBPR. So everything we do is collaborative, primarily based on three cancers only: breast, cervical, and colorectal. So speaking just about cervical, we do have more than our fair share of burden in Kentucky. And I think everyone in the room has probably seen this slide before, kind of giving us a quick view of what we're looking at. The 4,000 each year has been an immutable number. This is something that a lot of us in public health consider to be a sentinel event. There's no reason for women to be dying of cervical cancer. It's a slow-growing cancer that's highly preventable if public health does its job. So that's our passion, is to make that public health problem disappear. And certainly new technology is the answer to that. So we wind up, again, going all the way back to dysplasia. And, of course, the whole thing comes back to HPV. And we didn't know that 15 years ago. But in about 1998, CDC convened experts from around the globe and basically said, you know what? We really think it's fair to say that HPV is the cause of cervical cancer. This map just shows the Appalachian burden in Kentucky. It is not a statewide phenomenon to have these elevated rates. The elevated rates are occurring in the part of our state that's considered Appalachian. And if you know anything about the Appalachian chain, it really extends all the way from upstate New York down into Georgia. And really, at one time, well, and even across to Mississippi, all of those areas were considered distressed in the 60s. But by the year 2007, the Appalachian Regional Commission had basically said, it's all gone. The distress is gone, with the exception of the Delta in Mississippi and these counties in Kentucky. So we're working in some of the poorest counties in the United States. So we all understand the value of Pap testing, but those of us who work with hard-to-reach populations understand that, in fact, just because a clinic decides that we're going to do something and we're going to offer a service doesn't mean people will show up. And a lot of people have medical mistrust. They do not trust clinicians. They don't want to go see a doctor, and they certainly don't want to fill out paperwork and deal with forms. A number of other barriers as well. So, although Pap testing is important, it is clearly a challenge to get women into Pap testing. So, these numbers kind of show, again, our disparity on that indicator alone of Pap test. Again, coming from the BRFUS, which you mentioned. So you can see Appalachian Kentucky far lower. Lots of barriers. So, and I don't think anyone in the room would be surprised by any one of these. But my suspicion is, as we begin to study and continue to study these women in rural Appalachia, we'll find even more barriers. One of the most recent we're looking at is fatalism. Fatalism being that idea that, in fact, this is really beyond my control. Whether I die of cervical cancer or not is not related to my actions in everyday life. So these women have no motivation to be tested in any way, whether it's by a self-collected swab or by pap testing. So the beauty of the HPV cervical cancer link is that we can take screening away from the clinic. And the whole idea of bringing people into the clinic, we've tried this in breast and cervical cancer screening programs for decades. Ever since I've been coming to APHA, which is more than 20 years ago, I see presentations on getting women to go get screened. And I just think with our technology that we have to move beyond that. Let's take the clinic to the people, not the people to the clinic. So that's exactly what Jennifer was doing. I went to see Jennifer a number of years ago. She got me excited about this. And so we did a quick pilot, and she actually provided the swabs to us. So clearly, as was established in the previous presentation, this is a viable alternative approach. You saw in the slides from the previous presentation that whether you're looking at a clinician-collected sample or a self-collected sample, the predictability is the same, which is incredible. So very nice technology. It's a Dacron swab, and we wanted to know basically two simple questions. Would women do this? Now, we did not use the mail-in procedure. Our procedure was direct interface in clinics. And since then, we've proceeded to interface with women at outreach opportunities, whether that be some event, a festival. Every county in rural America has its festival in the fall. Or just any public location where we can meet women. I would eventually like to move into the Walmarts, because in rural America, that's the one place everyone goes eventually. So lots of opportunity here for scalability, which of course is what public health is all about. So high rates of acceptance out there, and you can see some of the estimates in the lower half of this slide. So we wanted to see how would these play out, these rates of acceptance, with rural Appalachian women, many of whom have very conservative sexual values. And certainly one of the things you have to be concerned about with self-swabbing is the whole taboo on self-touching of the genitals. So we really didn't know going into this what we'd find. We also wanted to find out if women testing positive would be amenable to navigation. That was important to us because clearly the benefit of a positive test on hybrid capture too is that now we can intensify our efforts on those who need it the most. So women testing positive become a point for our navigation services. Although we offered navigation to PAP for women testing negative as well. So this went quickly. We didn't know how long this would take. We set aside just a pot of spare money, coffee money essentially, and used it for this pilot study. And so in 1 month, we were able to recruit from just one location 31 women. In fact, just actually 6 days of full-time work. So our criteria, very similar to your criteria. And so we also provided a questionnaire. There's a picture of the swab, so I don't think you had one, so this gives you a better idea of what it looks like. And again, it's servo-vaginal, so the idea is just to get a sample near the cervix, near the os. So, and this information is really perfunctory. I think most people in the room are familiar with the technology. So Digene and Qiagen, I think one and the same now. So we did these follow-up calls, and they were made 2 months after the results. So we really wanted to find out, did women have a Pap test after a positive HPV test result? We'd hoped that that would trigger, from a behavioral perspective, the behavior of seeking a Pap test. So, as always, just the warm-up results, you can kind of see who was in our sample. So you can see that women had a mean age of about 38. This is a very white part of the United States. We have very few women who are black or Latina. In this particular sample, everyone was Caucasian. Very low income, so the majority, 77.4%, actually reporting an income household of less than $25,000 a year. A lot without insurance. And then again, you can see the breakdown on single versus married, mostly married. Tobacco is a huge issue in our state of Kentucky. It's one of those behaviors we don't seem to have a handle on. And that shows in this little sample. You can see that about 3/4 were current cigarette smokers. Pretty standard number of lifetime male sex partners, not a highly sexually active group of women. And you can see, though, if you look down, that about 1 out of 6 reported believing that their current partner had sex with other women. So, and again, we had some women who had never had a Pap, let alone not having one in the past 4 years. All right. Interesting here, if we look at very little trust in doctors and healthcare system, we only found that about 30% indicated that. So we were surprised. We thought it might be more distrust. And of course, we looked at other barriers like lack of time. And again, about a third, not even a third. So this one, I think, is real important from a behavioral perspective. We start to understand simple concepts expressed, for example, in the health belief model, where if perceived severity is really high, that will preclude people from engaging in a behavior. So this fear may drive people away from wanting to know and preclude women from being tested. But what we found is interesting, and actually it was quite stunning to me, that all 31 women who were asked to do this did so, and they did so successfully. We had no refusals. Now let me stop for a moment and say, of course, 31, that's not a lot, and that's easy to do. It's easy to score 100 when your sample size is that low. So since then, we've done a study of 400 women. And in that study, we have an acceptance rate of over 95%. So that's a very high rate given that large number. So what this tells us is that, in fact, the concept of taking the clinic to the people rather than the reverse old-fashioned method of taking the people to the clinic is in fact valid and something we should all be pursuing in public health practice. As you follow this down, you can see we had 5 of the 31 test positive for one of those 14 types of HPV. We wound up in the end finding out that only 2 received a Pap test in that 2-month follow-up we used. And of course, we had 9 who said yes, they intend to. So, and you can see on the right-hand side of those 5, we had 4 accept the nurse navigation, so about 80%. So, in our current study of 400 women, we're not quite there yet in terms of 80% being navigated of those testing positive, because we have so many testing positive. In our current study, we have more than half of those 400 women testing positive for one or more of those 14 strains. So it's become a huge amount of work to engage in the navigation. But it's good work, and we are glad to do it. But the rate of positives was actually a bit surprising to us. So pretty much, again, we're looking here at about 16% testing positive, and that's important because, again, these are underscreened women. So we don't have the results for our current study of 400 women yet on the number who were screened and were diagnosed with CIN 2 or 3, but that'll be important to us in the ensuing months. And of course, that's the ultimate payoff. You talked a little bit about cost effectiveness. I think that is what all of us need to do with this kind of work, is keep tabs on the CIN 2, the CIN 3, and the invasive cervical cancer, because clearly any of those, but especially the third, the cost will negate the cost that we have up front for these test kits and for our time and work getting women to self-collect. So again, I think the cost effectiveness analyses will be very favorable in the future. Key part of this, of course, is the navigation. That's time intensive. But that is something that often can be done by volunteers. We did not use volunteers for navigation in this study or our study we're doing now of 400 people. Mm-hmm. But in future studies, that's certainly a possibility, especially with lay health advisors. I think someone mentioned promotores. So, and of course, that model works quite well. And that's a type of lay health advisor. So again, we're pleased with 100%. And we think that that's probably stable based on our 95% rate in our current study of 400. So very high rates. Women don't seem to mind to self-collect. And it may be different if we ask them to do it in one location than another. Certainly that needs to be explored in future studies. We know, for example, from one of our experiences in the current study of 400, that recruiting at a festival and asking women to self-collect maybe wasn't a good idea, because when women go to a festival, they're there to have a good time, maybe they're with a partner. So maybe not the best time. But I still suspect that other places might be the reverse. They might be ideal times. So, and more we see pharmacies cropping up in stores, grocery stores, Walmarts, etc. And so women who are attending a large store like a Walmart or a Kroger, a Publix, whatever your grocery store chain is in the state you live in, they may be more agreeable to taking some time out to self-collect. So pretty much that's what we have to report. Again, it seems to be robust. Rural populations, like urban populations, are amenable to this screening procedure. So certainly last point deserves some attention. The tailoring alternative strategies to meet complex needs of medically underserved. And of course, I think all of us in the room would like to believe, as I would, that eventually we can do this with breast cancer as well. We can use our outreach services to start off with self-collected swabs. Women who test positive and are navigated become an ideal population then to navigate from that point of cervical cancer care into breast health care. So those same women may not have had a mammogram, and they may be old enough that they're overdue, and that relationship exists, it's there, and it can be catalyzed then into another form of prevention. And there's no reason why we couldn't couple this, the FIT test, with the self-collected swab. So we always have to think about combining services in that way. So, and questions come later, so I'll stop there.